Please, the Court. My name is Peter Forgy. I am the attorney for Patrick Vaughn, the appellant in this matter. I'd like to reserve a couple of minutes.
Okay. Now, obviously, we've scheduled 15 minutes. As I've reviewed the case, it seems to me that it might not take you that long, but we'll see.
I certainly agree.
Okay.
But the reason I'm here is to correct what I perceive to be an injustice. I've been practicing Jones Act litigation for three decades, and I'm quite familiar with the law in support of Jones Act litigants. I tried this case, and when I got the findings of fact and conclusions of law from the district court judge, the thing that was lacking that I found so puzzling was a logical underpinning for the judge's conclusion that Patrick Vaughn was to blame for his own accident.
Well, as I read the district judge's order, the district judge basically didn't believe your client.
She went out of her way to inject the credibility conclusions over and over again. I totally agree with you.
So if she doesn't believe your client, what am I supposed to do about it?
Look beneath the issues of credibility and try to understand the competing stories here. You can take, if you disagree, if she accept what she found with respect to his credibility. Patrick Vaughn said, the bosun told me to mule haul that 275-pound canister across a non-skid deck, a distance of between 20 and 60 feet.
Is there a picture of this canister in the record?
I don't know.
Does it have wheels?
No. It's probably the size of that table.
And so what's it on? I mean, when you say non-skid, I mean...
Non-skid, I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's in a maritime environment.
Well, I understand the non-skid, but what's that have to do with it? I mean, trying to figure out, I mean, if there are no wheels, I mean, what's the canister look like?
It's hard plastic, a flat hard plastic container.
But if I'm trying to figure out what it means to mule haul it, I would hope that there'd be a picture in the record so I can figure out what it is he's supposed to haul.
I'm struggling to recall where those, certainly there were photographs that were part of the record.
Okay.
And it's just
nothing in the excerpts, though.
I apologize for that. It's a beast of a object at 275 pounds. It's not quite the size of that table, but and it's solid, and it's hard plastic on a non-skid surface. And so he has to push this thing along, grinding it from between 20 and 60 feet with the help of one other person, and it suggests exactly why in the morning session they had used a forklift to move the container that morning, the other container. So when he got to after the break was taken, he comes back to it, and Henderson, the bosun, says to him, we don't have time to go get the forklift, which was down a ways on the deck. Just mule haul, just push the thing.
Yeah, that's the testimony of your client. The district judge didn't believe that was what was said.
Well, that's true, but the indisputed facts are that he did, in fact, push it without the use of a forklift.
Right. If he did that on his own without having been told to do so, I think that's his problem.
Exactly. Let me take an aside here. In all the trials I've done in my life, the general rule of thumb is you can't just reject the other person's story.
Of course you can.
Well,
that's what a trier of fact does, because generally there are two sides to a story. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in trial. So it's the trier of fact's job to decide, I'm going to accept this testimony, reject this testimony. That's basically what you do as a trier of fact.
That's true, and I completely agree with you. But the one story that I hold on to, that I'm, as a litigant, trying to advocate, I believe him. Now, if I don't believe in the other person's story, I can't just say, oh, no, that's not the way it happened. I disagree with it. At least from a pragmatic standpoint, it's been my experience, and I've been told many times, you've got to give them a story that makes sense. You've got to give them a complete picture of your contention if you're rejecting the other person's story. And what we have here is no explanation for why Patrick Vaughn would have done such a stupid thing. It's their burden of proof.
Didn't he testify that he was not concerned, actually, about whether or not it would do harm to him to do it that way?
No, he said it would be easier and safer. The findings of fact, conclusions of law state that. That he said, I know it would have been easier and safer, and in fact...
Yeah, but that wasn't quite my question.
He said that I wasn't concerned that I was going to be injured.
Yeah.
But I knew that it would have been easier and safer if I used the forklift as I had done that morning and I was intending to do it that afternoon.
And we've got testimony that the district court chose to believe that the forklift was actually much closer than Mr. Vaughn testifies.
Which is true, which makes the government's story, if you will, that much more unacceptable. Because if the thing was only 10 feet away.
But that makes it all the more unbelievable that the bosun told him not to use it. If it's right there, I mean, that's not going to take any more time. It might be quicker. Hence, I don't see why I have to reject the district court's fact-finding on this one. I mean, I'm not in a position to myself make the fact-finding, but it doesn't seem to me as though the district court's fact-finding is without some support in the record.
Other than the fact that there is no logical explanation for the district court concluding that he would have chosen that method, I've asked over and over and over again for someone to explain to me why that man would have done that.
Maybe there is no explanation. Spur of the moment.
People do stupid things sometimes.
Yeah.
There are lawsuits.
Well,
sure.
It's a stupid thing.
Why does someone, go through a red light and hit somebody? They do stupid things.
But underneath, at least in my experience, underneath each of those, there is some reason. Are you lazy? Are you drunk? Are you inattentive? Are you distracted? Are you mad at someone and react unreasonably? Are you macho?
There is an explanation. The explanation may be after the fact. Your client realized that he would not be able to get recovery unless he could convince the court that he was ordered to do it this way. That's an explanation for it.
But that's after the fact. But at that moment in time, why would he have selected that method?
If he in fact selected it, that's the question. The question is, did he select that method? Did he select that method without thinking, and then now he's trying to, explain why he did it? That happens all the time, that you do something without thinking about it, then you realize the repercussions of having done that, and you're trying to put a good spin on it. I mean, that may be an explanation as well, that he did it without being told to do so, realizes that if he did it without being told to do so, the onus is on him. Now he's got to come up with a way to blame somebody else. That's an explanation.
But that isn't the explanation that the district court judge included in any findings of fact that I saw.
But you said you can't come up with an explanation. You're seeking an explanation. And I'm saying that's one possible explanation.
Well, I mean, that isn't the way
that you wanted to go down.
That's true. That's true. But given how massively difficult that thing was to move along that non-skid deck, that distance, and given the fact that he had used the forklift earlier in the day, and given the fact that even the government says that the forklift was right there, it just doesn't resonate with me.
But it doesn't resonate with me that if the forklift is right there, that Henderson would have said, don't use the darn thing because we're in a hurry.
That isn't what Pat Vaughn said about where the forklift was. And I'm struggling because now we're back to the credibility thing. Pat Vaughn said the forklift was quite a ways away.
That's where we've been all along, is the credibility thing.
I know. And obviously I'm swimming upstream here.
Yeah, you are. Why don't we hear from the other side, and then you maybe have a better chance as to what you're shooting at. or swimming toward, or whatever the metaphor is.
Yes, good morning, Your Honors. Eric Kaufman Cohen, United States Department of Justice for the United States. This issue boils down to one of credibility. Judgment of credibility is a sine qua non of a trial judge. Judge Fisher did hear an explanation for why Mr. Vaughn did what he did, and that came from Mr. Vaughn himself. Judge Fisher didn't find that credible. She found the testimony, not only did she not find Mr. Vaughn's testimony credible, she looked at the deposition testimony of Mr. McCarthy, who was working with Mr. Vaughn that afternoon, and he testified that, no, he didn't hear the bosun tell Mr. Vaughn not to use the forklift, and he didn't hear Mr. Vaughn ask to use the forklift. We also have the testimony of the bosun himself, Mr. Henderson, and Mr. Henderson testified that this is a ship that goes nowhere. It's a pre-positioned ship. It sits there for 6 months at a dock. There was plenty of time to get the evolution completed. There was no time constraint on this evolution. It's a ship that goes nowhere, and that was his testimony. So the findings, Judge Fisher found that Mr. Vaughn was just not credible. His story was not credible. And so she did listen to the story. And then
what's your response to opposing counsel's search for a reason as to why his client would have attempted to mule haul, whatever the term is, this piece of equipment without the forklift?
My response is Mr. Vaughn gave his explanation for why he did it. He said that he was ordered to mule haul the life raft canister into position. The judge did not find that credible. She found other testimony and other evidence in the record that this simply did not happen the way Mr. Vaughn said it happened.
Opposing counsel's argument is, why would he say this if it were not true?
Motive is not a part of the elements of a Jones Act negligence claim. The plaintiff has to prove negligence, duty, breach, causation. There's no room in there for motive. The United States doesn't have to find a motive for anything. The plaintiff has to find, the motive is irrelevant.
Okay, let me follow up with Judge Rollins's question. If he had not been ordered not to use the forklift, the question that Mr. Vaughn's attorney is asking, well, why in the world would he have pushed it on his own? That is so, I'm now trying to reproduce your argument, that is so implausible that he would have chosen to push it on his own absent an instruction, that we just shouldn't believe that he did it without the instruction. How do you answer that? I think I've got his argument. So how do you answer that argument?
I answer it because Judge Fisher had the opportunity to perceive and witness the demeanor of Mr. Vaughn and the way he testified, and she came up with the conclusion it's just not.
But why isn't that implausible? His argument is the finding that was made by Judge Fisher is implausible, absent some reason why he would have tried to move the equipment himself when there was a forklift like that.
Again, it's not relevant. Motive is not relevant.
But why isn't that an implausible factual finding on the part of the district court judge?
What plaintiff's counsel is trying to do is to get into faulting Judge Fisher for not getting in the mind of his client. Why would Judge Fisher have to get into his mind every time she tries a case? And why would someone do X? Why would someone run a red light?
Well, I think your answer is, and you're not giving it, Vaughn admitted that he had no concern about moving the canisters without use of the forklift.
Correct.
He was reading from the district court's order.
Granted, and thank you very much for pointing that out to me. And that is in
the
record.
That was the answer I thought you were going to give.
And I will stay with that answer, Your Honor.
That's a good one.
It's a great answer, Your Honor.
Because the standard answer is the district judge looked at the demeanor. That's all nonsense. I mean, good liars look pretty credible.
I guess
nervous
Mr. Vaughn
truth tellers look, nervous and lying. Yeah. Okay.
I have nothing further, Your Honors, unless there's more questions.
Okay.
And if you'd answered the question, were you concerned about moving that canister, and he said yes, then the response at Jones Act trials is, then you shouldn't have done it at all. And the reality of the situation is that guys on vessels, when they're told by the bosun to do something, even though they don't agree with it, They're damned if they do and damned if they don't. If they say, no, I'm not going to follow your order, they risk losing their job.
Well, there's a mechanism for doing that. I mean, there's a union for a reason, so I'm not convinced that.
Well, there is a mechanism, but the reality of the situation is that most people don't, because it's a small environment on a vessel, and it harkens back to this Wards of Admiralty thing, that the reality of the situation is that they do what they're told, because it's a little world, and they're at sea, and yes, there's a mechanism to contact your union representative and to file a complaint, but
this vessel was not literally at sea.
Well, it was in Okinawa. It was on the water in Okinawa.
Is there a union representative on the boat?
Pat Vaughn was.
Yeah, he was the union guy.
Was the union guy, and he testified, you know, we'd get anywhere with this kind of stuff, but. You know, you can fault him for not being able to get recourse, but that's the reality of that world. I thank the court for trying to get from the government the explanation, the logical explanation for why he would have done such a stupid thing. I don't think that has been answered adequately. With all due respect, yes, he said I wasn't concerned about it, but he did say it would be easier and safer, and common sense would suggest that man would not have looked at that 275-pound beast of an object without any handholds and decided that pushing it the 20 feet as opposed to moving it with the forklift, which is what he'd been doing 3 hours earlier, and oh, by the way, if you believe the government, the thing's only 10 feet away, why he wouldn't just choose to get back on that thing, turn the key, and pick the thing up, had he not been ordered to do so. It does not make sense. And yes, we have the burden of proving negligence, but they have the burden of proving comparative negligence, affirmative defense. And that component of their story is their burden.
Why didn't you move to summary judgment? I mean, the logic of your argument is we didn't need a trial.
Well, summary judgments in Jones Act cases are virtually impossible to win either way. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank both sides for their arguments. Vaughn versus the United States now submitted for decision.